Well, welcome to Gardening with Daddy Pete. This is Melvin York. And we're going to today to answer some of the questions that's been coming in. We do appreciate you taking time to respond and ask your questions because they are one of the things that helps us do a better job for you. So we're going to start out today, and this one is a pretty good, really a pretty good question that I think is probably not asked enough. A lot of people take for granted, and the listener that wrote in there was very honest with her thinking, or her husband's thinking, and we all do the thing, and it's about moles. And we'll talk about pests in the yard here for a moment, then we'll change on and take another question. Moles and voles, what's the difference and what do they do? And her question was, how do they get rid of moles in the yard? Like any pest, and this is what I always say first, I know we have poisons and we have trick traps and we've got grandma's secret recipe and we've got all the above, it seems like. But to be honest with you, in any varmint situation like that in the yard or around the house, if you take away their food source, they will eat. It's just that simple. You know, thinking about this, about 10 people coming to stay for a week at your house, take away the groceries, they'll eat, they'll go home. just kidding. But anyway, moles. Here's a good way to know what you're looking at in your yard and the difference between a mole and a vole. Moles will be the ones that tunnel under your lawn and make these rows of hills of pushed up dirt in your yard. Now, people think they're eating the grass. They are not eating your grass. They may kill some grass or the roots by dislocating the roots or get it to where that the roots can't draw moisture because of the tunnel that's underneath, but that's not what they're after. They're after usually grubs, worms, different insects or species that live under the ground that is alive like a worm, or in most cases, the ones that attracts them the most is grub worms. So you take care of the grub worms, take care of that, and usually the moles go away. Here's a good way to know about moles. Number one, you'll see the tunneling effect in your yard and be pushing the soil up. Moles are a meat eater. They eat live objects, not plants, not vegetation. Now, on the other hand, when we go to the smaller varmint, the vole, it really doesn't make a pushed up mound. They kind of dig down and go in about root deep. And with a vole, here's a good way to remember that. Be with vole, they eat vegetation. Now, it's hard to remove the vegetation on a vole. So what you've got to do is you've got to change its habitat. Usually find voles in the heavy undergrowth, where there's a lot of leaves, a lot of mulch, edge of the woods, like kind of out of the way, because they don't like to be seen. If you see these little holes in your mulch or around the edge of the wood, and they're probably about 3/4 to 1 inch big around, and you're wondering, what is that? 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a vole and its activity. A good way to tell if you've got voles, look in that area. And along about midnight, if you'll shine a flashlight there, you'll see the little critters because they do like to come out at night. Any other time during the daylight, they stay underground. Now, several years back, I had bought a couple prize roses, put those out, and I was going to keep them near the wooded area of my beds, and they were looking beautiful. And 3 days later, I woke up and was walking around and looking at my garden, and the rose started to wilt. I thought, what's going on with that? So I reached down to check a leaf to make sure it didn't have insects on the backside of the leaf, and the stem felt loose, and I picked it up, and it was cut plumb across. The voles had got into that. Now, we do have a mix. And when you're doing your plantings, and it needs to be done when you do the planting, just like any planting mix, when you dig the hole, you want to make your hole larger, a little deeper, And we recommend that you use our planting mix, or in this case, if you're planting roses, nandinas, and you need to look up the list, and we'll try to have that for you maybe in the next few weeks. But anything that a bulb likes, a lot of the bulb. So these are things that you want to look for. We have a planting mix with Permatil. Permatil is a small rock-shaped furnace-fired shale. It has been heated. It's lightweight. Mixing those in there deters the bulb, because if you look up the picture of bulb, it's got a big funnel-like nose. And when it runs into that, it either gets stuck in its mouth, or it either aggravates to the point it goes the other way. So when you're planting plants like this, you get the benefit of deterring molds. And Permatil is also a permanent clay buster, or helps aeration in the soil. So Daddy Pete's, we do have, for all these applications, we have a planting mix that has the Permatil mixed in with it. But you do want to use this at your planting times. It needs to be around the roots and out from the roots, underneath the roots. So if that bulb does come to attack, he's going to get a piece of that Permatil instead of the roots off of your plant. So that's the thing to look at too. Like I say, we'll go into more about that, but do remember that moles, they do eat meat or alive worms or whatever. Most of the time, it's usually the grub worm type. And they do make the mounds in your yard that's tunneled up. Bulls eat vegetation, the roots of the plant, and most of the time you'll see them along the edge of the woods or in a heavily shaded type area where the beds have been heavily mulched for years, and you see the holes. 9 times out of 10, you've got bull activity. So just a little hint to help you on that would be the plantings. So again, take away some of the undergrowth, lighten up the beds a little, unless you've got a lot of shade plants. But by all means, or for any new plantings, use the planting mix with Permatil from Daddy Pete, and that will help. I have another question here, and this is from Dave. And it's a really good question, by the way, especially here in the Piedmont. His question is, he said, when growing in raised beds and getting 3 crops total, one summer and 2 of our cold weather crops, how many times a year do we need to amend our soil? Is once enough, once a year enough, or when you plant new crops? Well, most time in raised beds, I would say we need to go back and amend that soil every time with a little something, because we're depleting nutrients. Now, most of the things that we plant in cold weather crops are heavy nitrogen feeders, like your cabbage, that if you do that. A lot of the brassicas groups, carrots not so much, lettuce, medium, but we do those usually twice a year. Now, on our summer crops, depending on what we do, if we do a tomato, we do peppers, we do green beans, all of those, squash, zucchini, all those are heavy nitrogen feeders, and they're going to deplete the soil. Now, there's one or two ways that you can do that. Sometimes people opt to miss a crop. I think that's okay too. One way I'll do some beds is like this. I will finish my summer crop up, and I'll actually sow my bed down in either some clover, ryegrass, winter peas, radishes, even just radishes if you want to crop, because they do hold and fix nitrogen. And then along about January, mid-January, turn that green crop under. Just take your fork and your raised bed, go turn that crop under. And that's what we call green manure or green nitrogen. Knocks you down a crop, but it enriches the soil. Kind of do you want to let that lay out, so to speak, for one rotation and build back a natural way, or do you want to use the compost amendments and get 3 crops? Depending on how much you use. Now, You know, you can make that where you use the fall crop and hold off the spring crop, either one. But the winter, the summer crop, you know, needs to kind of stay where it is because of the green nitrogen things that we need to plant. It usually grew and or does grow better in the colder months. So that was a real good question from Dave. So maybe that will help. I hope that answers your question. And we got time probably for one more. Let's look and see what we got here for one more. Here's a good one too. David asked, what is the best product to help level low spots in a centipede grass yard in coastal South Carolina? Centipede is a grass that doesn't like a lot of nitrogen, so you want to take care of that. You already have sand working there, but when I'm leveling that, I like to do a mixture. We do have our sandy loam topsoil. It does have a little loam, a little sand. Works good in those areas, and it does have the compost in there. So the nitrogen level on that will not hurt your centipede grass, but it will help you level it and help it creep on and go on. So yards are one thing that's kind of finicky. Zoya, centipede grass, we don't want to get too much nitrogen on those. And so that was a pretty short question. So maybe let's do one more and see what we got. Let's see here. This one also was on Zoya grass, what to use to top dress with, or Zoya grass. Again, on the Zoya grass, if I'm just top dressing, not filling the hole, I would use our Daddy Peace compost dairy manure on it. Spreads well as far as leveling it out. It's not going to burn the grass, and it will give it just enough feed of what it needs to do in these months ahead. One good thing about that, there's not enough nitrogen there to burn in the hottest part of the month. It does feed. And while we're talking about lawns too, and that's one thing we want to get into a little bit more is maybe that will be one of our next segments is when to fertilize lawns and trees, basically your garden and your gardens and your whole landscape in your yard. There's a time that when you fertilize these that actually do that does better than others, and times that you can get the most bang for your buck, so to speak, fertilization now, whether it be organic or not, depending on which type you want, chemical, whichever one you use, you know, it's not cheap. But we did explain the difference between a chemical fertilizer, what you're putting on your lawn, or compared to an organic. And maybe when we're doing that, we'll go back through that again too. So we do appreciate your questions. I hope this has helped answer some of those. If you would, go to our website, daddypeaks.com. Join in our podcast. We'd love for you to. We do have an archive there. If you go to our webpage, that gives archives all the podcasts that we've done. While you're there, sign up for our email on gardening. That's free to you. Also, if you have a moment, look around, look at our different product lines. It gives you a little bit overview of what they're all about, what they're used for. And if it's a rainy day and you got an extra minute, look at our about page. We're you know, over a century old farm. We've been here since 1907, and I think you'll find it very interesting to see that. I know a lot of people enjoy looking at our older pictures and hearing our stories and tales of the things that has happened over the farms during the many years. And farms are one thing that over a period of the last 30, 40 years, a lot of went by the wayside. So we have been one of the blessed ones to still be hanging around and having a good time since 1907. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you the next time. This is Melvin York, and this is Gardening with Daddy Pete.